revelation of that, of the power of worship. Well, I tell you, in God's economy, it's massive. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't know where to start here, so I'm a little... Hallelujah. And I don't see him here. Ouch. Anyway. Hallelujah. My position, not necessarily my position, but my mandate that God has called me to at Potter's Hands Ministry is going to change a little bit, and I'm asking for your prayers. I'm asking for your prayers, okay? Pray for me, and that the next coming days, that God will pour down His Spirit upon myself and upon the people that I'm going to be meeting with. We feel as a board that we're not in a place of crisis, but praise God, it's a move. And I just sense that God is going to move mightily and powerfully. Amen. For myself and for Potter's Hands Ministry. Amen. So there'll be a little change in my scheduling. I'm going to be going out there and raise funds for Potter's Hands Ministry. So I'm going to be door knocking. And I know a lot of people in the city. I've been here since 71. So I know the owner next door, Ron Robothan, and stuff like that. I know all these people. And so I'm going to be knocking on their doors. What I need your prayers for is that I'll have an open door to these people. How many of you know that these multimillionaires are not taking any of their money with them? They're not. They're not. I'm serious. Okay? So where are they going to go? Right? And we've been praying. As Lift Up Red Deer and various other places, we've been praying for the city of Red Deer, Central Alberta, the city of Red Deer. And we believe that God is going to touch every facet of society. That being the rich people, the doctors, the lawyers, every facet of society. Amen? So, the rich are going to be touched. Amen? So, I'm going to go door knocking and, Lord willing, being led by the Spirit of God, talk to these guys about their need to support us, to partner with us for what we're doing downtown. Red Deer, and also, you know, the coming legalization of marijuana, to me, that's just going to be another door, another open door for the enemy. Amen? So there's a preparation going on, and we need to be ready. We want to get these people off the streets. We want to house them. We want to help them. We want to encourage them. We want to pray for them and, you know, see them rise up to become the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen? So it's going to take some footwork. So that's where I need your prayers. Pray for me that I'll be led by the Spirit. Amen? And so we'll see what happens there. Is that what she said? She said amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow, praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Out of the mouth of babes, you've ordained praise. This is the scripture that God has given me for this mandate. And it just gave it to me just here the other day. For a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Okay? But it's an effective door. So whatever that looks like, what God has in store for me, I have no idea. Amen? But there are many adversaries. So that's why I need your prayers. We're going in. I'm a representation of you guys, of the ministry. Amen? So, hallelujah. Courage, boldness, and God tells me I got a door that's open. Amen? I was hoping that Brent would be here. Apparently he left. Did he leave? Brent. How many people know Brent? 1, 2, 3, 4. Brent. He was just sitting here. He was worshiping with us. Amen? So I guess he bailed on me again. Tricky. Anyway. Hallelujah. So you haven't seen me around here too much in the last month or so, eh? Yeah. Been holidaying. in the Caribbean and cruise ships, the whole nine yards, just everywhere. We were just out here south of Revelstoke in the mountains and had a blessed time. Last weekend we were in Saskatoon. My nephew got married, John, and so that was good. A good time. I was able to say grace and for the congregation there and for the, not congregation, but the group. So that turned out really good. On a downer note, Mal Gilbranson, how many know him? Yeah, he passed away. He's passed away. So he's gone. And that's how fast life is. Amen. 71 years, very short time. Amen. So that's why when we worship here, we praise God, we have that eternal hope. Amen. This life here is just a short life, very short. Amen. And so what's done for him will count on the scales of eternity. Amen. So since Brent is not here, just wanted to enlighten you guys, per se. Recreation. How many know that word, recreation? What it all means, eh? Okay? God showed me on the holidays. If you break it down, recreation. Recreation. So when you're out there, there's a setting apart. You're getting to know creation, God Almighty, the Spirit of God, and He's brooding over you, and He's giving you new stuff. So next time you go out camping or out there for a recreation, it's called recreation. Amen? So that's free, that part. The next one, when we went out to visit my in-laws, in-laws are all passed, brother-in-law and sister-in-law, God began to speak to me. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners. Amen? And so maybe previously I kind of like, I want nothing to do with these guys, whether it be them or anybody else, eh? But God just unraveled some stuff in my mind and says that I must be a friend of sinners. So, amen? So, you know, you get saved and you come out of all kinds of stuff. And then if you go back in, you get all tangled up again. But you separate yourself for a while. Amen? And get built up with God. And then He'll take you back into those places. Amen? And so be a friend to sinners, you know. And they need help. It's not that we support their sinful lifestyle. It's not that. But we support the person. We love the person. Amen? We don't love what they're doing, and we want to see them changed. Amen? And so keep that in mind. Brent's back? Brent, come here, buddy. Yes. Brent, get up here. Hallelujah. Brent has been a part of Lazarus House for about 9 months. And to me, he's just followed suit with what we've requiring of him at the Lazarus House ministry. Amen. Now he's moving on. Next week, he's not going to be with us. He's leaving on Wednesday. He's heading out. So I thought it would just be a nice thing to do for him, and just to give him one of the jackets from the Lazarus House ministry. And, you know, in wearing it, you know, it's a great responsibility. You know, you just think, so, you know, unless the Lord guides you into the bars and stuff like that, you know, leave your jacket at home. Amen? And stuff. But, you know, just to pray for him and send him off. And Lord willing, he'll be back for the baptism on the 16th. Lord willing. Okay? So I would like Tim, Pastor Stan, just to come on up. Maybe Doug McLean. And we're going to pray for this man here. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead.
Go in the grace of God and go with His Spirit with you, and guiding you and leading you and teaching you and protecting you in the name of Jesus.
Yes. Lord, we just release them into your hands, your faithful hands, as we've heard this morning. You are faithful, Lord God. So we release them into your faithful hands. Bring him to the places where he can grow and be nourished, and also be a partner with the pastors, whoever they are, where you're leading them, and let them be a blessing there. We ask this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Lord, thank you for getting to know Brent. And I really appreciated this man a little bit that I spent with time with him, and just some of the times in which he shared what God was doing in his life. Father, I just ask that you'd go before him in the name of Jesus Christ. One of the things I really appreciated about him is that he appreciated the leadership in this church. And sometimes as leaders, you have to say difficult things to people sometimes. You have to, because we love them, because we want them to get through stuff. And he was a person that thanked the leaders in this church. And that's a blessing, because it's not always easy being a leader. Unless you've been in that place, you don't really know what it's like. But he honored the leadership of this church. And I believe that because he honored this church and the ministry and those of us that have worked together to help him, that, Father God, that you've brought him through in a wonderful way. And now you're sending him out from here. And that, Lord, he's going to be a witness and he's going to be a blessing. And that, Father, you have a plan for his life. And may he know, Lord, that any time he needs prayer, any time he needs to come back here and get strengthened or just encouraged, that he's more than welcome. This is his home. In Jesus' name.
I just want to pray for Alvin. So we prayed for Brent, but we thank you for Alvin too, God. And as he moves into this new venture, we do pray. You know, he's asked for prayer, and I think we need to respond with that. So we pray for Alvin that the doors will be open, that you'll give him boldness, that there will be fruit to the work that he is doing, that there will be people who will respond, and that people will want to support the soup kitchen and the feeding of the hungry. And even as we move in the direction of a recovery center, that there will be even more and more people wanting to support that. Just bring your church together and use Alvin, Lord, as he goes out in the afternoons trying to bring that message, give him the confidence that he needs, and lead him by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Crystal is going to say a couple words about the women's retreat. She does that better than me.
Hi. There is a women's retreat coming up September 7 to 9, so Friday night, Saturday all day, Sunday till about noon, okay? It does cost $135, but I'll be very honest with you. There's a whole bunch of people who came to me and said, I can't pay. I said, don't worry about it. We'll figure that out. So if you can't pay, we'll figure it out. Okay? And also, if there's other people around here who have lots of money in their pockets and they go, you know, I'd sure love to support someone, we'd be welcome to that too. Anyway, the theme is hunger, because I think that everybody's hungry, but we may not always be hungry for God. We might be hungry for, or maybe we're hungry for God, but we don't really realize it, and so we're using other things to try to fill that hunger. And so I think it's going to be really cool. And a really cool thing is that Pam Dick, who is here, if you remember the Father's Heart weekends we've had, she's coming. She's going to be our main speaker. And she's going to be great. And she's even taking a few of her, two members of her ministry team are coming with her, because we want to do some ministry there. We want to be awakened by the Spirit. We want to be filled with Him. And so I just encourage you, and come see me, come see Kathy Rainville. We have sheets to fill out, and we have 35 spaces, so get your name in there. We'd love to have you come, all right?
Okay, so there's tons of announcements today, it seems like. We try to avoid that because we want to keep this more about worship and about God, but sometimes this is important. So remember the women's retreat starting on the 9th. And
7th, ending on the 9th. I got the 9th in my head because I know that's when she's coming back. She's coming back on the 9th. I can do this. I'll make it. Baptism on the 16th, we're going down to the river. That'll be a morning of some testimonies, and then we walk down the river, and it's going to be exciting. So if you want to be baptized, come. That's in 3 weeks, right? Yes. Thanks for saying yes. And, oh yeah, next week, so that with the barbecue, we're also going to be honoring some of our little children that have been born. And I invite you, if you've got a little child, let's say that, a year and a half or under, we're going to be bringing some gifts. So I encourage you, if you're able, bring a gift, and if you want to give that gift specifically for one of the children, Alice, right? So here's Alice, and we have two or three other ones. I'm going to invite you guys to come. We'll have a couple gifts for you. Maybe you bring something small for each one, or maybe you just bring one, and we'll just divide them up later on. But we just want to honor them, and we want to pray for them. We want to pray for a blessing on them and on their moms and dads, and so just come, okay? That's going to be great. There you go. Well, there, yeah. But Lana's coming, and I believe you're coming, and you're welcome to come. You're welcome to come, okay? So thank God for that. I think that, so next Sunday, 4 o'clock, the barbecue, and 3:45 or 3:30. If you need a ride, just come at the church. Come to the church. What? Oh, yeah, bring stuff. Yeah. So desserts and salads, if you will. We'll provide the hamburgers and the hot dogs and the buns, okay? Next weekend is the barbecue. Next weekend is the barbecue. Okay. Let's, there's an excitement in this place. Do you feel it? Worship was awesome. God is here, and he wants to speak to us today. He's been, sometimes as a preacher, there's a certain words that you get. You go, man, I just know this one. I know this is exactly what is coming from him. I understand, that this is a word of God that he really wants us to listen to. And so just maybe a little prayer here, if you don't mind if I pray, and then let's listen carefully to what God's saying. Let's bow our heads. So thank you, Father, that you are so good. You're a good, good Father. Thank you for the excitement in this place, for the movement of your Holy Spirit, that you are alive. And we sang about the resurrection of Jesus today. If it were not for the resurrection, that we have a Savior who's alive, we would have no hope. But we have great hope because you have conquered the enemy. And you've conquered death, and you've conquered even our temptation so that we could live in victory and in freedom. So thank you for that. We invite you today to lead us, Spirit of God. We invite you to open the Word and make it real to our hearts. We pray that you'll speak to us. We come here with our brokenness. We come here sometimes with our regrets and the hard things from our past. And we want to leave that. We leave the burdens today at your feet. Show us your power and show us that your love is an everlasting love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading this morning from Matthew chapter 4. God's, he's really been laying on my heart. The last few times that I've spoken, it's been about that we are Christ followers and what that really means. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm not a Presbyterian or a Baptist or, all those other names that we sometimes put on the flavor of Christianity that we have. One thing we all share in common, though, is that I'm a follower of Christ. And what does that mean? It's been a question that I've been asking throughout August. And to be honest with you, I'm really believing that God is saying, we need to do more of this. We're gonna talk more about this in September. And as more people come back, we want to learn, what does this mean that I'm a Christ follower? What does it look like that I follow him? That he's leading the way. What does that look like? We talked a little bit about how when Jesus began his ministry, he called disciples. Remember that? And he called James and John, and he called Andrew and Peter, and all he said to them was, follow me. And they got up and they followed him. He didn't give them a whole big explanation. He didn't say, hey, guess what, guys? We're going to have so much fun. We're going to be camping and there's going to be revival meetings and you want to come? He didn't say that. All he said was, follow me. I know I'm fighting with this thing. I hate this thing, but it's okay. Don't mind me if I'm fiddling with it. You know what he just said? Follow me. Just come after me. And that's what they did. So they followed him. The last time I spoke was about Matthew. And that Matthew, who was known as Levi at that time, was a tax collector. Remember that? He had his own booth, and everyone knew who Matthew was. No one liked him because no one liked tax collectors. But Jesus came up to Matthew, and he said, Matthew, I want you to follow me too. Yeah, even though you're a sinner, even though no one likes you, even though you've been stealing money through your tax collection, I want you to follow me. Just come. And Matthew, and it's cool, right? The Matthew tells his own story. It's in the book of Matthew that he tells a story about Matthew being called to follow him. And he did. He followed Jesus. So today, Matthew chapter 4, we're back into Matthew, this disciple, this person who was Levi and who became a disciple of Christ and who wrote the first book of the Bible in the New Testament. And I want you just to notice today as he tells us the story of Jesus' initiation into his ministry, that Matthew tells us how Jesus was led into the desert. And it's about that initiation, that Jesus had to go into the desert. This was not an elective. This was compulsory. He had to go into the desert to face the temptation of the enemy before Jesus was ready to begin his ministry. Let's read what Matthew says there. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus, and by the way, just as we do that, remember or notice that Matthew addresses or names the enemy with three different names. He calls Satan the tempter, he calls him the devil, and he calls him Satan. Just notice that. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, and he had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Amen? Isn't it good to know that then the devil left him? That at least there's this time eventually after the battle and after the desert that the devil actually does leave. That the war won't keep going on, at least not with the intensity that some of us have been facing. That the devil will leave, right? Jesus was sent into the desert. This wasn't an option. He had to go. And you might wonder why. Like, why did this have to happen? And why is this always in the beginning of the ministry? Because actually the Gospel of Mark begins. You know, Mark doesn't tell us the story of Jesus' birth and all that wonderful stuff at Christmas time. Mark begins with Jesus in the desert. So this is a very important thing, that Jesus begins his ministry in the desert. And the answer to the question is because Jesus, even as the Son of God, even as the Savior of the world, needed to endure this time of tempting. There was even a question for Jesus, are you ready for this? Are you ready to face what's about to happen, Jesus? Are you ready to go to the cross? And these next 3 years, they're going to be very difficult years. Are you ready for this? Is your heart ready? Are you ready to face the enemy? Do you know what's about to happen? Is the time right? Is the time right? Jesus is a deliverer. Amen? Okay, good. He's a deliverer. He was sent by the Father to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven, and he was sent to deliver his people. He was sent to deliver them into a promised land, and in many, many ways in the Bible, Moses and Jesus, there's an echo happening. There's Moses was a, sort of a forerunner, and he was a deliverer of the people of Israel. He brought them, he led them across the desert. He led the people of Israel into the promised land, and he was sort of, it was a beginning of who Christ would be, right? That Christ is that deliverer. He came to set his people free, just like Moses. But ultimately, he's the only deliverer. I mean, he's the absolute deliverer. But we hear the echo in this story, right? That Jesus had to go into the desert for 40 days. How many days were Moses and the Israelites in the desert? But 40 years, right? So you see there's something similar. There's a similarity happening here. What Jesus does in the desert is similar to what was happening in the Old Testament, right? And they were sent into the desert. He's the deliverer. He's the Savior. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So Jesus goes into the desert to face the enemy. And we know that Satan is at his finest when you read what goes on here. He uses every trick. He uses every way to try to get Jesus to stumble. He offers him different things. He plays on his emotions. And after 40 days in the desert, you know, he must have been hungry. We're told that Jesus was very hungry. For 40 days and 40 nights, he hadn't eaten. And Satan says to him, why don't you turn this rock into a stone? Or the stone into a bread, sorry. That'd have been another trick. But the one he brought up was, why don't you turn this stone into bread? And you know, you can imagine Jesus saying, well, that's something I should be able to do. I'm hungry after all. I'm done with the fast. I've had my 40 days. It all made sense. But that's not what Jesus does. And I know that you know, because we talk about this many times, that in the desert, Jesus only does one thing. What's that? He only quotes the Word of God, right? He only quotes the Word of God. He only responds to the enemy with the truth of God's Word. And one of the things that I think we don't understand, and it's kind of been brought to light for me at least this week, is that one of the reasons why Jesus ended up going into the desert is because in the desert, the battle lines are drawn. In the desert, we have Antichrist, we have Satan, the devil, the tempter, and we have Christ. And it's in the desert, already in the desert, that we see what's going to happen in this war. We're going to see how this goes on, right? We're going to see what the rules are of battle. And so Satan's doing everything he can to try to warm up, you might say, to Jesus. But one of the interesting things that I discover, that I find in this passage, is that Jesus wants no part of it. You know, there's no discussion happening here. That's to me the interesting thing, right? Jesus doesn't sit down with Satan and say, well, why don't we talk a little bit, you know? What can I do, you know, so that you won't be so evil, you know? How can we work this stuff out, right? And I bring that up because that's kind of what happens nowadays, right? When we have a problem with North Korea or with China or with Iraq, we talk about things like sanctions. And we talk about, you know, how we got to all get along and find ways, you know, where can we find the common ground and mediating? You know, what do we mediate here? How do we make this work? And I want you to be very clear here today when you see that Jesus wants no part of that. All right? There's no discussion. Jesus is not saying, hey, why don't we sit down across from each other? Let's have a good man-to-man discussion about this. No, what Jesus is really saying here is, I am here to destroy you. And that's it. Yeah. I'll quote the Word of God, but that's all you'll get out of me. You're not going to get any chit-chat. There's not going to be any dialogue. There's not going to be any compromise. And here's the key thing. There is not going to be any negotiating. Because I don't negotiate with this terrorist. And he is the worst terrorist of all, right? So, I mean, really, it's what Jesus is saying. He's drawing the battle lines, and he's saying, here's what you can expect from me, devil. Here's what you can expect the game plan and the war plan is going to be. I am here for one reason, and that reason is to destroy you. I'm here to destroy you. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm not here to make up with you. I'm not here to send you off to exile somewhere. We can agree, you know, Satan, why don't we just agree on you not being so evil and you'll have a little, well, you can go to Saturn. You can live on Saturn. You know, I'll make a concession. There's no concessions here. I am here to destroy you. That's it. Period. 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 John chapter 3, if you have that passage from John chapter 3, it says the Son of Man, you know, he who does what is sinful is of the devil. Well, you can do that one first. It doesn't matter. That's from, yeah, that's the one. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. You get that? We need to understand this. This is why Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to completely annihilate evil. He came to remove sin and tears and cancer and AIDS and homelessness and all of that stuff that Satan brought into this world. He came to destroy the enemy, to throw him in a sulfurous lake of fire forever and ever so that we could be completely free of him. That's good news, right? The reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the works of the devil. The other one I gave you was from Corinthians, right? Put that one up too. I want you just to see I'm not making this stuff up, okay? This is actually in the Bible. He says, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after Jesus has destroyed all dominion and authority and power, for Jesus must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now, my friends, that is the words of a conqueror, right? That's a description of someone who is victorious and who's a conqueror, and he's not going to put up with the enemy. He's making it, even in the desert, he's drawing a line in the sand. And I guess I never saw it like this before. I mean, I knew all about the scriptures and how he quotes the word of God, and I love all that. But what underlying all of this, what's really going on, is he draws a line in the sand, and he looks Satan right in the eye and he says, you are dead. You will be destroyed forever. Because I am the king. I am the king. And I have come to set my people free. I've come that they may have life. And not just ordinary life. They may have life abundant. Right? So here's a notice, and that's what's going on in a desert. Here's a notice. He slaps the gauntlet down. You know, I think you're supposed to smack somebody with that, but okay, so he smacks him with the gauntlet then. He says, here is a notice to you. I want you to know you will be destroyed. The Son of Man came to destroy the works of darkness or the works of the enemy. Amen? Amen. So let's look at that a little bit. How does he defeat the enemy in the desert? How does he defeat the enemy in the desert? We already said one of those things, right? He quotes scripture. Jesus knows the word of God. He answers every time with a scripture verse. But you know, for a long time in my life, I thought that was all that was happening. And I've preached sermons about this where that was sort of the main event. It's all about the scripture, and we'd go through the three different things that Satan, and that's all really important, but I missed something, because Jesus, it's not just that he quotes the scriptures. There's something else that's happening in this story of Jesus being led into the desert to be tempted. There's something else I think we really miss. You know what that is? Where else does he get his strength from? You're going to be afraid to answer this one, because if you get it wrong, I'm going to point you out. You know what it is? Let me tell you what it is. And I believe we miss these first three words all the time. It says, being led by the Spirit. Jesus went into the desert for the sole purpose of being tempted, but being led. Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the desert. And not just, the word doesn't say he was led by the Spirit to the desert. The word in the Greek is actually into the desert and along the journey. So as Jesus spent those 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, he was following the leading of the Holy Spirit, whatever that meant, wherever the Spirit left or led him on that day. I'm guessing on day 10, the Spirit would say, let's go over here. And Jesus would say, okay, wherever you lead me then. You're leading me into the desert. Now that's really important because it's not just the word of God that Jesus uses as a weapon, but it's the Spirit of God that Jesus uses as a weapon. And if we're going to learn how to combat the enemy, and we're going to learn to stand against some of the desert trials that some of us are presently going through, we need to know that the Word of God is awesome and it's great and it's powerful, but the Spirit of God needs to go hand in hand with the Word of God so that we have been fully equipped. Okay? We are fully equipped to fight the enemy. In John chapter 4, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, I'm going to tell you what true worshipers are going to be like. True worshipers are going to worship in spirit and in truth. That's what true worshipers will worship. And if we believe that, and we do, then you know, really we can draw the conclusion that when Jesus was in the desert, he was worshiping the whole time. It was one long month and a half of worship to God. Knowing the word, quoting the word, right? Reciting the word of God, the power of God's word, and walking and living and moving in the Spirit of God. That's what true worship is. True worship isn't just the word. It isn't just the Spirit. It's the word and the Spirit working hand in hand. Amen? Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, in the story of Moses, we're told in Exodus 13 and Exodus 14 that the people of Israel were also led by the Spirit. Remember that? They were led by the Spirit through a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I mean, God actually led visibly, tangibly. You could see it. They would look at that cloud. There was sort of this pillar of cloud by day, and the cloud one day would move over to the right, and they would go there. Then the next day, it would go this, and then it would stop, and they would camp for a while. And in the evening, if God wanted his people to move along in the nighttime, it was a pillar of fire, right? They were led by the Spirit, and again, we see how Jesus is sort of an echo of what happened back then, but he's a New Testament deliverer. Led by the Spirit. Moved by the Spirit. The Spirit's saying, I want you to do this today, Jesus. Until finally, he's ready to face, even though he's weak, even though he hasn't eaten, he's ready to stand before the enemy and face the temptations and face the pinnacle of this desert experience. He was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Just like in the Old Testament, they moved along the way the Spirit led them. Jesus was led to do whatever the Spirit asked them to do. So not just, I started off the sermon by saying he was sent into the desert. That really wasn't accurate. He was led into the desert, just like you and I are led. And here's where we're kind of getting to the part that God's really been laying on my heart lately. It has to do with being led. Are we understanding that? That's still relevant and true for us today, right? It was true for the people of Israel crossing the Sinai. It was true for Jesus in the desert. But you know what? It's true for me and you too. And it's really good news. I have the Holy Spirit who lives in me, and he wants to lead me. He wants to lead me throughout the day. But here's the problem, and you can differ with me. You might not even agree with me. But in my opinion, we're here a lot today in the church, and we read a lot in the books that are written, and you can buy them at the bookstores. We read a lot about the power of the Spirit. And you know I love the power of the Spirit. I'm not against the power of the Spirit. But a lot of things that we talk about are things like the power of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit and the evidence of the Spirit. And all of that is really important, but it's only important, and hear me, it's only important if we're led by the Spirit. If we're not led by the Spirit, then it's just a lot of noise. And it's just a lot of cheerleading. And I think sometimes we get caught up in the cheerleading. And we forget what really is important. Even the Holy Spirit himself doesn't just want to empower us and give us wonderful signs and wonders just so that we go, wow, that was a great service. He does that so that we are led to bring the message of Christ to the rest of the world. Do you have that clip? A couple of weeks ago, don't put it on you, just show the picture and then you can push the arrow in a second. But a couple of weeks ago, I was really blessed. it's my birthday coming up in a month or so. And four of my sons surprised me. They picked me up and they took me to Canmore and we went golfing, which I am terrible at doing. Not a good golfer. And you got that picture of the car? So they wanted to show me this car that we had been looking at and just joking about. So there's this guy who had a car in Canmore, and it's a 65 Corvette. My kids know that I got a soft spot for 65 Corvette. So they thought, you know, let's go. He was trying to sell this car. He said, let's go look at it, and maybe we can take some rides in it. So just put it on now. This is only a 10-second clip. This is the guy in the car who's selling it. Yeah, we need volume, though. This loses all its meaning if there's no volume. See, I said we need volume. There. Most guys are doing this. Okay, that's enough. I'm starting to get distracted. Only a guy could like that. Yeah. So we were able to take this car out, like me and one of my kids. We went on four different trips, and after we were done, we had our little drives, and after it was all said and done, I gave him $100 to pay for the rubber. So I felt bad, like I wasn't just going to leave. I figured I'm sure we used up at least $100 with the rubber. Here you go. And we didn't buy the car. But here's the point. The point is, you know, there's power there. Like, there's 450 horsepower in a 383-inch motor. And there's power there. And you can listen to it. You can sit there and you can, like we were doing, you know, oogle it and listen to it. And it goes, but it's got absolutely no value unless it moves. You hear me? It's just powerful. But if it's not going anywhere, then what's the point? It needs to go. It needs to spin its tires, I believe. It needs to corner. It needs to be moving and not just sitting in this guy's garage, right? And that's the message today, is that because we have the Holy Spirit in us, we got to be moving. We got to be led by the Spirit. And you can sit all day long just revving up the motor and going, blah, blah, blah. Isn't that great? Look at the power we got. There's signs and wonders, and I'm speaking in tongues, and wow, bum, 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 bum. This is cool. We're really got power. The Spirit says, when are you going to follow me? Right? I want to lead you. I want to lead you. I want you to come along. Here's we're talking about being followers of Christ. In Jesus' day, when he began his ministry, he walked just along Galilee, and he said, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Leah, follow me. They followed Jesus. Amen? That's clear. Today, he says to us, now you follow me. Now you follow me by being led by my Spirit. My Holy Spirit will lead you. I will bring you where you need to go to. I'll bring you to the person who needs to hear from me. I will lead you where you would never think about going yourself. I'm going to lead you to those places. If you're willing to not just sit in the driveway revving up the motor, but if you're willing to go. And then all that power, if you really want to see it in use, all that power and the tongues and the healing and all the wonderful things, all the manifestations that follow the preaching of the Word of God, you will see it in the context that I meant for it to be in as you go. As you go. As you go. Right? God is a... Oh, you got those things, Alvin? This maybe seems... I don't know what it seems like, but I felt led to do this. And this is what it's all about. Just how is the Spirit leading us? God led me to this prayer. So we're going to pass this out to you today. It's a prayer that just came to me one morning when I was having devotions. And it's very simple, so I'm not pretending that this is profound, but this is a prayer that I pray every day now, and I'm going to pass this out to you because I want you to put it in your Bibles, and I want you to pray it every day, and I'm giving it to you because this is harder than it sounds. I could tell you, I could say, you know, just pray that the Spirit will lead you every day. But I can tell you from my own experience, you'll forget about that. That Wednesday will come and you'll go, I never even prayed about it. So every morning I pray this prayer. Lord, I invite you to lead me today by your Spirit. I choose to follow you. My eyes are open to see where you go. That's it. Let me read it one more time. Lord, I invite you to lead me today by your Spirit. I choose to follow you. My eyes are open to see where you go. And I want to encourage you to pray that prayer every day. Put it in your Bible. Ask God every day what he wants you to do or where he wants you to go. I believe that we need to give that invitation to the Holy Spirit. We need to submit ourselves, humble ourselves before the Holy Spirit and say, I'm yours today. So what do you want me to do? Where would you like me to go? Who do you have a word for that you want me to share? You know, here's a word that I believe God has for you, right? Because that's what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. Are you following me with this? And if you have something that specifically happens in your day or in your week, I want you to write it down. You know, I went to so-and-so. I felt God was leading me to bring a meal, or I just needed to, I texted someone. You know, I felt led to do this. So when you feel led by the Holy Spirit to do something that you know is from the Holy Spirit, just write it down. Just a short little, you know, start filling the card out. But every day we come before God and we say, Lord, I invite you to lead me by your Holy Spirit. Because here's how the Holy Spirit works. He wants to go ahead of us. We're worried about all the power, that we won't have enough power and we're never going to be able to do this or I'm not capable. And he's not worried about that at all. He says, I have fully equipped you. I've given you everything that you need, but you're not going to know that until you actually follow my leading. But when you follow me, you're going to see exactly what I want you to see. I'm going to lead you where you need to go. And so he just says, come and follow me. What does that mean? It means that, you know what it means? Is that our days are a lot more deliberate. And my time isn't mine like it used to be. It used to be, you know, you do what you want. I do what I want. It's my life. I'm going to walk through this day, and usually I'm just going in circles, you know, and I'm a bit lost. But when you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you suddenly have a purpose and an intentional life. You're living intentionally, and you're listening. It's about communicating. Are you following me? Because you cannot be led by the Holy Spirit unless you've got this line of communication going on where you're saying to the Holy Spirit, him? And the Holy Spirit saying is, yes, him. Tell him I love him. Tell him that it's going to be all right. Or tell her that I'm going to be able to take care of this for her. And I believe, and I'm learning about this, I got to tell you, you know, so if I stumble a little bit or I'm not doing this, you know, at 100%, that's okay, because, you know, I'm not good at this, I'll admit it. But I'll tell you this, I am convinced that we need to be a church that follows the leading of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And that there's nothing more important than that. Just follow my lead. You'll get better at it. That's what he keeps telling me. Just keep coming. But you'll get better at it. You'll listen to me better. You will hear my voice. There are people that come in my pathway on most days that just need a prayer or just need an encouragement. Sometimes, and this is where it gets a little bit freaky and you got to be especially careful, I'm warning all of us on this. Sometimes God will give you a specific word for somebody. And you just know that God wants someone to know this. And it's always kind of weird. And you don't want to be that creepy guy, right? But sometimes you just got to be faithful and you say, you know, here's what, and I always use the word I believe. I know some of you don't. Some of you go, this is what God is saying. It's up to you. I always want to leave a little bit of a benefit of the doubt because I'm not always right 100% of the time. But I say, you know, here's what I believe. I believe that God would say this to you today. He would say this. He wants you to know that he's pleased with you, that you're a great mom, that you have the smile. You have the smile of God on your face, and the countenance of God is all over you. That's what he wants you to know. That's what it is to be led by the Spirit. It's to just follow him and not be afraid. To know that he can use you. And sometimes I feel lost when I'm doing this. I'll be honest with you. I feel like I'm out in the middle of the desert still. But here's the thing, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're lost. Sometimes you can be lost. As long as you know you're still following the Holy Spirit, you're going to get where you need to go. You can be lost and still be used by God. You following that? So the message is, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. I grew up in a church, and I was trained in a seminary where I was told what to preach for a whole year. They gave me every month, every day, you know, this was this certain Lord's Day that you got to preach this. That's all right. Like, you get a lot of material done in a year, but you know what you don't get? You don't get led. That's not led by the Spirit. I want the Spirit to lead me. I hope you'll bear with me as I try to go down this road a little bit more. But it's not just me. Because here's the thing. You are not just following some guy who's led by the Spirit. Because if you're doing that, that's a scary place to be. I can lead you in the wrong place. You are led by the Spirit yourself. Did you get that? You are led by the Spirit yourself. We don't just have a few people on the board that are filled with the Holy Spirit and we go, thank you, Lord. No, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are equipped with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you can be led. You will be led. You will be led. You will be led. And that's the kind of church that he wants us to be. And it means being vulnerable. It means sometimes being lost. And it means sometimes you got to go into the desert. I absolutely hate the desert. I don't like the desert. And sometimes you end up in the desert more than one time, unless you've learned what you need to learn. And you have that passage from Deuteronomy chapter 8. I just want you to see this one thing before we close here. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, here's what, this is really a revelation. It says, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. Why? Here's the important part. To humble you, to test you, in order to know what was in your heart. God wants to know what's in your heart. He wants your heart to be pure. And sometimes he will allow you to be in a desert just so that your heart can be revealed. He's revealing. If you're going through a hard time today, maybe you've been going through a hard time for the last 6 months. The Word of God, yeah, 5 years, okay. Fair enough. Word of God says it's for one reason. He wants to reveal your heart. God wants to know where your heart is. And if you're going through that really hard time, here's some advice. Take a look at your own heart and try to ascertain, try to see what it is in your heart that needs to change. What it is that God is seeing that he wants to refine in you. Amen? So finally, and in a couple of minutes here, we're going to end our service by having three or four people praying for you on either side of the aisles. We have two aisles now, so we're going to have a little group here and a little group there. But I want to just share this last thing with you because I prayed about this. I said, Lord, you know, as I was praying, saying, Spirit, lead me. I want you to lead me because I'm going to be preaching about being led. So, you know, this should work, right? Like, I gotta engage in this myself. So what do you want today, Holy Spirit? How would you lead us today? And I just felt like, again, I believe that what the Holy Spirit was saying to me is he was saying this, and maybe this is a message to just some of you today. And what he was saying is, I want you to come to me today. I want you to be willing to be led and stop resisting. And then the word independence. Again, I don't know who this is for. Maybe it's only for one person. But the word, you're independent. You stand on your own. Maybe he's talking to you right now. You think, here's what God was saying to me. You think that it all matters, that it all depends on you. And that's not true. But you've been living your life this way. You are very independent. You are very independent. You think that if it's got to happen, you're going to have to do it. You think that you have to carry it. You have to do it. If I don't do it, it won't get done. And I'm telling you by the Spirit of God today, that's not true. Because that independence, that it all depends on me, has stopped you from coming to my cross and laying down what you're carrying. You're carrying a heavy weight. You've been carrying it for a long time. You've been thinking that's a good thing, too. I'm able to do this. I'm strong. I'm independent. The Spirit of God says to the church today, just come to me and lay it down. You cannot do this yourself. And the second thing that he told me this morning, again, maybe this is going to relate to you or maybe it won't, but he just impressed this on my heart. And you know, I'm really not that flighty. Like I just really got to work to be open to this and to let the Lord lead me by his Spirit. But I believe he was saying this. He said, some of you are looking for answers. You've been looking for an answer to something specific in your life for a long time. Maybe this is you. You've been waiting for an answer. You've been praying for this answer for a long time. There's something in your life that's hung there for a long, long time. You've been waiting. You don't know where the answer is. And you even sometimes question me. You question whether I know and whether I'm hearing your prayers. And I want you to know and I do hear your prayers. And I want you just to come to me and follow me. Be a Christ follower and I will lead you. I'm going to lead you in places you could never even dream about going on your own. If you've been looking for an answer, a specific answer for something in your life for a long time, I'm going to invite you to come to the front here soon and just let someone pray for you. Those prayers, you want to come up and take your places, those of you who are going to be praying? There are people here, and they're just people. But they're here to pray for you. And what we're going to do is, I'm going to ask that music gets played in a moment. And you walk from the back and just walk through the three or four people who are standing here. And I want to just say one more thing about that. Sometimes we think, in the past we've done this, and we think, well, I have to have prayer from all four or all six people. You don't. You can just get prayed for by one person, or maybe one person here will have a word of knowledge. We're going to kind of stand like this. So we just let's let people walk through and... Unless one of you who are prayers, unless one of you feels led by the Spirit particularly. So if someone's coming through, and Doug's already praying with that person, but if you feel, you know, I got a word for that, don't miss that opportunity, all right? But otherwise, you can just come and let the person who's available, they're going to give you a word of encouragement today. Isn't that good? They're going to just listen to God. And just, what would you have today for Cindy, God? What would you have today for Paul Ann or for Sherry? What would you have? What would you say? So let's pray. And again, this is available. I hope you come. I hope you come. Lord God, so grateful for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you have defeated the enemy. That you came for that very purpose, to destroy the works of darkness. And we're going to come in faith today. Even though it's a little bit scary, we're going to come believing that you're going to speak. We don't want to run out of this place. We don't want to leave.
without hearing from you specifically. And we believe that your Spirit leads us. So lead these eight people who are going to pray and have words of knowledge and words of revelation, just encouragement. We come to you. Amen? We come to you. Lead on. Just lead the way, Spirit of God. We want to be the church of Christ, where we are led by your Spirit. And we pray that in the future weeks that you're going to teach us more and more what this looks like. For the sake of Jesus, for the sake of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's put the music on, and you're invited to come. And just one more thing. I'm going to just keep my mic on. So just stand up and come. But if there's anyone here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to stand right here. And I'm really happy to pray with you to invite him into your heart so that you can be the Christ follower that we've been talking about. Why don't we stand and come? Thank you, Lord. Lose my worries in your love. Praise you.